Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take a spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City.
That's right.
Dylan.
How are you, Connor?
I'm great.
I didn't say in New York City with you this time.
I know. What the heck?
Well, I was trying to think about what our intro normally is like, because I'm not looking at a paper in front of me.
I know. We're going willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? What's happening? Did you hear that they're doing a prequel series on Disney Plus, Beauty and the Beast prequel series?
Yeah.
With Gaston and LeFou.
Yes.
I hope it's gay.
Is it live action or is it
animated? It's with Luke Evans and Josh Gad, who did it in the movie with Emma Watson.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
LeFou is gay.
Yeah.
And he danced with a man in like the bar scene, and then they were like, he's gay.
That was like the big gay scene. But I don't think it'll be gay because of, they moved that Love, Simon show from Disney Plus to Hulu. And we haven't even talked about this. Lizzie McGuire was canned.
I know. And I know that you're heartbroken.
I'm heartbroken. I
stand. What is the reason why it was like canceled completely?
Well, basically like the showrunner and Hilary Duff, they filmed 2 episodes and Hilary thought it was going to be like this honest look at what Lizzie grew up to be, like a young woman in her 30s living in New York. Relatable.
Like Carrie Bradshaw vibes.
I guess so. Yeah. And they hoped it would be that. And they did 2 episodes and they were like, no, this is kid stuff.
Oh,
like
no.
It wasn't covering like the real hard hitting topics that a young woman in her 30s would be doing. And you know, of course, Hilary Duff's on Younger,
mm-hmm.
on TV Land.
Yeah.
And that I think does capture a millennial's life.
Yeah. Oh, she's good on that.
She's so good.
Her Botox is great on that.
The Botox, you can tell when she just had it freshly done, mm-hmm. too. Like there was one season where I was like, oh my God, I don't think she can emote at all anymore.
No.
But she's fierce, she slays, mm-hmm. she's amazing. And I think she would have, I think she even said like, yeah, we're going to have gay people in Lizzie McGuire now, and Disney moved.
Well, Miranda was probably a lesbian.
Oh my God. You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be amazing. But it was crazy because they came out with all this press like, okay, the whole cast is back. Like we got,
right.
Everyone is back. I don't know if they said LaLanne was coming back to play Miranda.
I don't think they did.
I don't think they did.
What happened to LaLanne? Truly a mystery.
I know.
Did you watch Lizzie McGuire? I'm asking our guest.
I did.
Okay.
Oh my God. Okay. But anyway, I have respect for Hillary and whomever the showrunner was because they were like, you know what? We want to give people who grew up with Lizzie an honest look at what this actually be like. This is doing a disservice to the fans.
I'm kind of disappointed in Disney Plus now, though.
I know, because what content do they really have other than High School Musical and Musical series?
And that is gay.
That does have gay.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
We'll see. I wonder what, I mean, LeFou, if they explore him.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, that's why we started talking about this.
Love.
Mm.
Maybe someone who like worked in the castle.
Yeah.
Pre-enchantment.
Gaston is so hot. Oh my God.
And Luke Evans is amazing.
It was a crime that they didn't have him have a hairy chest in the live action, because in the cartoon he famously has a hairy chest.
He does. You know what he was great in? The aforementioned on this podcast, Ma.
Oh, Luke Evans in Ma. Yeah.
The most deranged
with the prosthetic
movie of all time.
The prosthetic penis.
Yes. And I will say, I talked about this in a previous episode, that I accidentally bought that movie on YouTube.
For $7, famously so.
And then like a week later, it appeared on HBO. So
on that note, I think we should bring our guest
in. I think we should. It's time.
Yes.
Connor, why don't you read the credits?
Here we go.
I'm very excited about our guest.
Oh my God.
Today.
Me too. Our guest today is the fresh-faced and incredibly talented performer who recently made his Broadway debut portraying Young Man 3.
Not number 1 or 2.
No, 3.
That's right.
And Young Henry in the epic play, The Inheritance, Parts 1 and 2. A recent graduate of the acting program from Carnegie Mellon University, this rising star hails from San Diego. He's appeared in The Odyssey, Hamlet, This Ain't No Disco, and so much more on stage, but also has film and TV credits on The Outsiders, Alternatino on Comedy Central, and in Human Capital. He's also, get ready for this, a trained gymnast, Dungeon and Dragons aficionado, and has been a guest bartender on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. Please welcome to Drama,
Carson McCauley.
Oh my God, hello.
Hello.
You guys have such a sweet introduction.
Oh my God.
Fresh faced. I don't know.
Fresh.
I'm glad they can't see me now because I just rolled off the Q train.
This is your day off.
Yeah.
But you're, of course, turning a look. I feel like the whole cast of The Inheritance, you're all very chic.
They are chic. They inspire me to be chicer. Mm-hmm. In fact, tomorrow we are doing a clothing exchange. The second we've done, where we just bring in all of our clothes that we, like, don't want, and we just, like, lay them on the stage. And the stage is, like, such a bare, it's like a marble table, so it looks like a designer store. Mm-hmm. And then we just walk around and we, like, take whatever we want.
Oh, that's so fun.
Which is very cool.
Who brought in the coolest stuff last time?
I mean, it's always Andrew Burnap.
Toby Darling?
Yeah. And then, like, I don't know how he's just like, oh, I'm getting rid of this, like, stunning vintage, you know.
Like a silk
cool
button
cut.
Down.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But
hopefully they bring some shoes and socks because you all need to put them on.
Our feet are busted now. They're cold a lot of the times. Yeah. A lot of times we have to use the props, like, because when we're sitting under that table, we have to, like, there are all these prop
things.
And a lot of times we'll take jackets and just, like, lay them on our feet for now until, like,
truly, like, a behind the scenes thing there.
Oh my God, I can imagine. When you guys are barefoot, my feet feel pain. Well, famously with foot trouble myself, you know. But, wow, they're probably hurt. Just like running, jumping. There's so much going on at all times.
And, like, I stubbed my toe the other day running on stage.
Drama.
Which was great with drama. And it was right before this, like, 20-minute long The Henry Brunch, which is in part two, which is, like, when we find out he's...
It's an iconic sequence.
Yeah. It hits the fan. I feel like we can talk about it because by the time this comes out, The Inheritance will have sadly closed.
It won't be playing anywhere.
So is it still a spoiler if we talk about it?
But today it was announced it's going to the Geffen in Los Angeles.
That's great. Okay, so we won't give any spoilers away then for our
spoilers.
West Coast
The Henry
friends.
Brunch.
Right, Henry Brunch. Big stuff happens and... but it's long. It's a long... One of the longest scenes in the whole entire piece.
It's in part two, right?
It's in part two. Yeah. Right at sort of the beginning of part two, and I was just sitting holding my bloody toe, like being like, I need a Band-Aid now, but I can't get off stage because, like, we're stuck there watching the scene.
And unlike other types of plays where you're, like, in a living room or in a kitchen, you can't just casually pretend like it's part of your blocking to, like, get something out of a cupboard or
walk
off stage.
Not the humans.
Mm-hmm. It's not the humans.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. But I did end up finding my way off right after that scene, and then finding my way on randomly at another time, which was confused all the stage management.
I feel like young Henry runs onto the stage a few times.
He does. He does.
He's, like, breathless, and he's got, like, this,
with, like an open shirt.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That is. It is true. It is true. It's funny. The audiences have laughed more at my running on at the very end of the whole 7 hours sort of experience. I, like, run on one more time to, like, talk to Henry
in a beautiful moment.
So beautiful.
Oh my God, I was sobbing.
But I think that I'm, like, maybe I'm just running harder now, or, like, I'm more out of breath. But, like, audiences are laughing a lot at us coming on, which I think, I mean, there is a part of it that is really funny, like, that me and the memory sort of boys, like, keep just inserting themselves into these people's lives. But
I think you need the laugh at that point.
Totally.
Too.
People are desperate for a laugh.
Truly.
Oh, my God. Everyone was telling me it's really emotional, whatever. And, definitely, we did the whole day. Mm-hmm. We actually recorded a podcast between parts one and two.
That's amazing.
In a state of deep trauma.
I feel like it was with Aisha Jackson, who was in Frozen at the time. And I feel so bad. We were truly, like just our brains were fried already. Like, I was in that world so much. But
I have to say, I think it's my favorite play.
Oh my God.
I'm serious. I was sitting there just feeling so seen and just in the moment. And the last, oh my God, I could, like, sob thinking about you sit through it. Well, actually part two, only 3 times a week, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But the whole, like, last 30 minutes of the play, I was just wrecked.
Yeah.
I have to say, spoiler, but when Lois comes on, from then on, I was just, it was over.
Right. Yeah. And it's so interesting because part one is actually really funny.
I love part one.
Funny. And then right at sort of the end, it hits you. And it hits you differently than sort of, I think, the end of part two hits you, in that, like, part one, you're so surprised, and so, because you've been so happy this entire time with the cast of characters, and then all of a sudden you're not feeling very happy anymore. Uh-huh. And part two, you're crying at the end, but it's because it's so happy, and it's like sort of an ending that, without spoiling too much, it's an ending that sort of gay people never get, and you don't, like, I remember really hearing it for the first time, because that's one of the parts we didn't even really run until the run through, because we're not really a part of it, the narrators or whatever, just sitting through sort of that ending sequence and being so crying because of such joy that, like, sort of these people live these beautiful lives that, like, a lot of people didn't get to live, is crazy.
Oh, it's a gift.
Oh my God.
You know, I remember when I saw Carol, the movie.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, oh, this is going to end in a murder-suicide or something like that. Yeah. It's like, because we've trained ourselves so much, even Call Me By Your Name, things like that. It's like,
totally.
They can't have happy endings because it's a gay story or something. And that's such a great point you make that we don't normally get that. And that is why I was so, like, I was hopeful at the end of the second part, but also just so drained.
Right. Yeah. It's actually something that is said in the play very briefly. And when Ian Forster comes back on in part two, he's like sitting on the beach with Leo, and he says, like, I felt it was important to make Morris, the book that Ian Forster wrote, have a happy ending. So many stories ended with people hanging from nooses and stuff like that.
Sure.
Unless you really clock that line, you don't realize sort of what Matthew is doing with The Inheritance. And because I also have talked to people who have been like, oh, it was just sort of wrapped up in a nice pretty bow. And I was like, I want one nice pretty bow, please, you know.
Great. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, we're talking so much about The Inheritance.
Yeah,
I feel bad.
I have more to talk about.
We certainly will. But I do need to ask a very key question that we ask all of our guests.
Hit me.
Are you well?
I am well, yes. Yeah, we're closing this week, which is like a mixed bag of like emotions.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But it kind of surprised us how many good feelings would come with that. You know, this sort of like wave of feeling like a beautiful sort of like relief of, oh my God, I now have a date. Like, an open run is such a nervous thing for 9 months of my life. Mm-hmm. I've been like, at any point, two weeks notice, you know? And now that it's like closing, all the audiences are so on our side, and it's packed in there. And
good. And it should be every single night.
Yeah. And it's
forever.
It's such a beautiful sort of send off that we're having. And, we're coming together as a group tighter than we ever have before. So like, life is good because, we're sort of spending this last week like really appreciating it, which feels so beautiful and happy.
Aww. So did you guys see it coming at all? I had thought that it was going to run at least through the Tonys, maybe even a little more, because I figured it was going to win everything. I mean, it still might.
I still think it will.
Yeah, who knows?
We'll see. I don't know. Yeah, it surprised us in that we thought we were going to be pushed until the Tonys, at least until the Tonys, but we also were very aware, even from the first, when we first got in on the project, they were like, we're taking a huge risk, you know? Even shows like Harry Potter right now, like, it's hard to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
totally.
That brings in tourists. Like, a 7-hour, 2-part gay play based off an old English book is not bringing in tourists, you know?
I'm sold.
No,
I know what you mean.
But even besides that, like, it's a straight play. It's hard to sell, and so we knew we were taking a huge risk with it, and so we had an inkling.
Okay.
We were like, not an inkling, but we knew probably that we wouldn't go our whole full contract.
Okay.
Just because of the state of Broadway and stuff like that. But it did come as a surprise because we thought we were at least going to sort of get to the Tonys.
Sure. Well, I still have high hopes for it.
I have high hopes. On. Also, I think you're going to book a CW TV show.
Yeah, Connor and I were talking about this last night. We're like,
I see this for you.
He's got the CW look.
Oh my God.
Thanks. Well, because also, we saw it in the beginning of January, and then we were at Six last week.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And we walked past the theater, of course. And I was like, oh my God, like, I feel like Carson's like the poster child. Like, you're like, your smile is like right in the center of like that bit. You know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about that one picture of me going like this?
Yes.
That is a fun picture. Yeah, it was actually kind of funny. My dressing roommate, Kyle Harris, makes fun of me a lot. He like just makes fun of, I make fun of how old he is, even though he's not old. He makes fun of how young I am. And he was like, when the reviews first started coming out, when we were like, publicity was like pushing, pushing. they would use these pictures of us with like quotes of like Vogue and all these people who liked it. And it was like three sort of consecutive days in a row where I was in these pictures and Kyle Harris would come in and be like, what the hell, dude? He was like, I want one picture of me with the advertisements. Which is so funny. But then it stopped, and, you know, I am in a lot of those.
You are.
Surprisingly.
But. I love it. And I feel like you've also been doing a lot of press for the show, too. You went to Live at Five.
Yeah, you were on Watch What Happens Live.
I was, yeah. That was very fun.
Was
John,
it fun?
Yeah, John was on the show. Did you guys watch it?
I haven't seen that. No, I haven't seen it. Yeah.
I don't regularly watch, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't really... Jonathan Burke was also one of the bartenders.
Yes.
And he... is like a super fan of Watch What Happens Live. Okay. So it's like this crazy.
Does he love like the Housewives and
yeah,
all that?
Yeah, he loves the Housewives. He loves like he loves it every aspect. And so it was awesome to be with him too, like a super fan. But yeah, John Benjamin Hickey is really really good friends with Andy Cohen, and so he was on the show that day. Andy had John Hickey on, and so then we were. In the background. I was so nervous. I was so scared.
Oh, a lot to watch.
Yeah, I just get really nervous when I feel like why would somebody want to talk to me? Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like in positions of like right now I'm like, "Oh my god, great." Like I feel like you know, we're talking, we're like on the same level, but like when I'm in the background and like somebody has like a famous TV show that is like, you know, talking to like John Hickey and then they like turn and ask me a question. I'm like, please, you don't want to hear from me, you know?
And isn't Sarah Jessica Parker good friends with Andy as well? And then John is directing SJP in her play.
Yeah, so they have actually, John is just good friends. They're all sort of like this big group of friends. Mm-hmm. Like John has known SJP and Matthew Broderick for a long time.
Okay. Oh my God.
And so I believe it was actually Sarah Jessica and Matthew who when they decided to do this were the ones who were like, we need Hickey. He was like, I have not directed like directed stuff at like Juilliard, I think, was his alma mater, but he was sort of persuaded by SJP and Matthew Broderick, and I actually got to go see it. Well, see Tech, so I didn't really get to see
in Boston.
Like, the full. Yeah, my friend, like one of my closest friends from college, plays the bellhop.
Oh, nice!
And so I
Shout
went up
out.
To Boston. Yeah, his name's Eric. He's awesome.
Yay, Eric!
And so I went up to go visit him and go to this concert. And then also see Hickey while he was away. And I surprised him, and I got to watch Tech.
Oh, that's so fun.
Which is really cool. SJP was so sweet.
Oh, my God.
It was such a...
I love her.
Yeah.
She's just so like, vintage and genuine. And
oh, my God.
You see what she posts on Instagram, and she's, like, posting these love letters. Like, she's just a poet.
Yeah, yeah. And you've... I mean, her costumes in this, you guys, are unreal. Like, when you say vintage, like, she's wearing this, like, sheer, giant hat with these flowers.
Oh, of course
on.
She
it's
is.
So cool.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be at the Hudson.
Yeah,
soon. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Wait, what concert did you see in Boston?
So, Twist, I went to go see Rex Orange County, which I don't know if you know who that
I
is.
I don't know her.
Loving is Easy is my favorite song by him. But he got sick. And we're like, it's like 30 minutes before the concert, and I'm like, I'm on my way, and it was like canceled.
Oh, how sad!
That is so sad.
But it was sad, but then it ended up being beautiful because I had surprised Hickey on their lunch break with my friend Eric, and but I was like, I gotta go to this concert. And when the concert got canceled, that's when Hickey was like, come and just sit in on Tech.
Oh.
So then I got to be with him longer, be with my friend longer, meet SJP, meet Matthew Broderick.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
So amazing.
Because you play, I guess he's not in it anymore, but you were the young version of John Benjamin Hickey. And now the young Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah.
Young Henry is trade. Henry's trade in general.
I love Henry.
I mean, it is really intimidating how, like, trying to be these two like incredible actors and some beautiful actors. Tony Goldwyn has a six pack, you guys. It is
how
crazy.
Old is he?
I don't know, and I truly don't.
He's
know.
Overflowing
ageless.
With ageless. He's
ageless.
He's the Brad Pitt of Broadway.
Yeah, and ageless physically and like emotionally mm-hmm. because he's like such a beautiful spirit.
Yeah.
I remember it was like second week in, and I remember one of my castmates turned to me and they were like, I wonder if Tony is a cyborg that has been brought here just to make everybody so happy.
Oh,
like,
I'd love to hear that.
He's just so kind.
Now, did you watch Scandal?
I did watch Scandal, mm-hmm. but not the whole thing.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay.
But I did watch Scandal.
Oh, he was so dreamy on that. He was dreamy in Ghost. Like, if that's like where I remember know. First seeing him.
There's this crazy scene in Ghost where he like spills something on his shirt and he's just like, oh, I'll just take it off. And it's like this wild, erotic, like,
I oddly don't remember that scene.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to do a rewatch.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So you gotten to know him well at all? Or
Yeah.
Because I know all the Scandal people have been coming to see.
Yeah, except for Carrie. Carrie hasn't come yet.
I don't know. Come on, Carrie.
I know. Maybe she's coming to closing. I don't know.
That would be a gag.
Yeah. It's super fun. I also think, week one, Tony was just like walking out the door and like walking down the street and like getting on the subway or like hailing a taxi.
Amazing.
And I think stage management had to tell him, they were like, Tony, like we can get you a car. Like, I think it's okay for you to have a car. And he's like, Oh, yeah. That also might be a myth, but I believe that's what was happening. Like, I would just see him walk down the streets of New York and I was like, Tony Goldwyn, you're Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah.
Like, you can have that in your contract. But that's just another, you know,
that's
so
fun. I'm obsessed with the whole cast of The Inheritance.
I know.
Everyone is so great.
It's an incredible group of people.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. Both as actors and as people.
Now, I know that you've told the story before in other formats, but how exactly did you even come across your desk? Like the audition, the process in general?
Yeah, so I got, am I close enough to the mic?
I think so.
Sure, I think.
Okay, great.
I know, we're like kissing the mics over here.
I'm like, should I hold
it? We're paranoid because sometimes it will be too far away and then they can't pick up. So we're always like,
oh, I want to be able to be picked up.
You will. There might just be a slight echo.
Okay.
It's okay, though.
Okay. So I got just the audition sort of from my representation, and I had heard about it because I studied abroad in London when I was a senior.
Oh, nice.
In college, which was right. I was leaving right as it was like starting at the Young Vic. And so I was seeing these posters of these like shirtless men, like original poster, I think is so funny. It's like none of the actual cast members. And it's like six shirtless
I've
men
seen
like, laying
that.
On the ground. And so I was like seeing these pictures and I had like been hearing sort of some sort of buzz, but I left and didn't mm-hmm. see it. And I'm glad I didn't see it.
Sure.
But yeah, and then once I got it, I was like, oh, okay, it's coming, the piece that I've mm-hmm. heard so much about. And then I just read the, you know, 500 pages that the whole thing is in my room alone, and I was a disaster.
Oh, I can imagine.
A disaster in a great way.
Sure, yeah.
In a really beautiful way. And then I went in the next week, probably, and then kept going in, like, every week after that.
Was it for this specific role?
It was. I was one of the... Actually, that might not be true, but I know that a lot of the other people switched around a lot.
Okay.
And I was only ever this role.
Interesting.
Which was really cool and really nice because it was a lot to learn and it was to, you know, do. And so I can't even imagine some of the other cast members who sort of were being thrown about. I think because... most of them are sort of one age group, like sort of 30s.
Mm, yeah.
And I'm one of the only cast members who's like, you know, supposed to be in their 20s.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Me and young Walter are supposed to be like young. Mm.
Young.
I'm so sorry, everybody. So yeah, I think that's why I didn't get like thrown about. And then the final callback was really, really beautiful. It was it was a devising session.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, I actually did this Facebook Live thing with Matthew Lopez yesterday, and hearing him talk about it was so beautiful and something I'd never heard before, which was that like they used that time to sort of cast, like what you're saying about how much you like love the cast. Mm-hmm. They used that devising session because they knew how important it was for these people in the room to be like really cool, kind, mm-hmm. like, you know, ready to play people, you know, on top of what they could do with the script.
Right.
Like the piece is so dependent on us sort of being like collaborative and giving and yeah, I always say to people, like, if I wrote down like the 10 sort of kindest people I met mm-hmm. in that devising session, those are the 10 people that are young man 1 through 10.
Oh my God, that's so great.
Yeah, which is really sweet. Yeah.
Well, I came across on stage because you guys are amazing.
Thanks.
Yeah. I never wanted it to end.
I know. That was the thing. I was like,
I want to come back.
Everyone was like, oh, it's long, like buckled in. Didn't feel that way.
Thanks. I mean, that's the biggest compliment you could mm-hmm. you could give us.
The Fire Island scene.
Let's
crazy.
Talk about it.
That's my yeah. that's my dose of drama.
I was like, here's why I will like literally never want to go to Fire Island in my entire life. Yeah. Like, this is like truly insane. Like,
yeah, it's so. Have you never been?
No,
never. Never been. Either of you. That's no, so either. Crazy. I've been only once and didn't have that much of experience, like that type of experience mm. because I just went with one friend and we like took a day and mm. we like came back. We didn't spend the night there. Yes. We just like sat on the beach and then went home. Yeah. but it was fun, you know, to be there. Like, oh, yeah. First time at, like, I was in public in a Speedo. Sure, I was feeling yeah. real gay.
Yes.
But
maybe this summer, maybe
Carson,
this
summer. We're going.
Okay,
we're going.
Done.
We're doing it.
Done. The cast has talked about.
Oh, that'd be,
going,
oh, that'd be amazing. That's cute.
Which would be really, really sweet.
Yeah.
But yeah, that scene. It's so funny how many different sort of reactions you
I loved
get to
it.
That scene. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like when. When you're like on stage in that moment, do you feel vulnerable? Because I mean, everyone's like in like Speedos or anything like that. Or is it? It comes at a point in the show where you're very much in it too. So.
Yeah, yeah. We never do part two on its own, so it's never like, oh no, like an hour ago I was in bed and now I'm like naked in front of a thousand people.
Yeah.
It's like I've already done all of part one. I feel in it. I feel in the world. I feel yeah. in character.
Oh, that's interesting. You never do part two on its own.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We did actually during previews. There were a couple times we did part two on its mm-hmm. own. Felt weird.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. But now we only do it sort of in marathon days, which is cool.
There is a hard question that I might not even be able to answer. Is there a part that you look forward to in each part of the play to get to each night?
Yeah.
I know that's like such a. It's like, what's your favorite song to sing? Like,
right, yeah. No, but it's a beautiful question to sort of think about. Yeah, I mean, the end of part one mm-hmm. is just one of the craziest experiences I've ever had in my mm-hmm. entire life. It's like, it's sort of this beautiful meta theatrical moment mm-hmm. where, for sort of the first time in my entire. Career and life, I feel characterless. Like I'm standing and I'm in front of thousands of people, but I'm not. No, like nothing is not me. Like we're standing there wow. and we're just ourselves, sort of on that stage. And every day, it sort of affects me in a different way. Thinking about my own life and thinking about particularly the people who are in the audience that I know. Mm. You know, friends who come and. My relationship with them is I've never felt more sort of connected to those relationships in my life than being in that final scene, knowing that they're watching. So that scene is
oh, that's special.
Mean, that scene is yeah.
Never, really I mean, like the
we were
audible
stunned.
Sobs.
Oh yeah,
and like it was truly like we were kind of like on the side of the orchestra, so you could see other people, the grown men just like weeping.
Oh my God,
it was so beautiful.
I know.
Thank you,
yeah. Matthew.
Can
Lopez.
You see the audience?
yeah, and that's what is so crazy about it too is that and so like meta theatrical about it is that. It's not just like, oh, we are getting emotional because we are in the show and then you're getting emotional because of us. Like, we're getting emotional because we hear you. We mm-hmm. hear you mm-hmm. and we are thinking about why you're crying and who you know and what the story is behind those tears. And it makes us...
Oh, my God. Emotional. I'm going to cry.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And I'll start thinking about the stories that people told me the night before because we come out on the stage door and there are these... in amazing sort of stories and you know, shocking stories of people giving us hugs and being like, you know, I, for the first time since 1996, I saw my love on stage. Like I saw his face and it's like,
oh my God,
I'm getting emotional right
I know.
Now. And so you think about those things that people told you yesterday mm-hmm. and that also comes up and, Yeah, it's
just, that's gorgeous.
It's so beautiful.
Thanks for your vulnerability, Carson. I really
appreciate
it. That's so cool.
Okay, switching topics a little bit, or maybe a lot. We like to ask our guests about their Ring of Keys moment as it relates to a life in the arts or pop culture, acting. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that moment when you realized that you really wanted to be a performer, or just that you loved the arts in general. Do you feel like you had that moment?
Yeah, I always like tell people that I sort of like tricked myself into being an actor because I was so young. I was like in third grade when I was Charlie Brown in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Cute.
And since then I was like, yeah, duh, like I like doing this, so like let's do more, right? And then there was a middle school that was a performing arts middle and high school. So then I was like, yeah, guess I should go there.
I've never heard of anything like that.
Yeah, so I was there for 8 years, which is like such a crazy... Wow. I was an acting major and I was like 10. You know, it was like crazy. But I didn't realize how those like little steps that I was putting in my life were creating these huge steps for my career. And so I sort of like... I looked back and I was like, I was blinded by sort of all the work I had done and to like prepare for being an actor in life. And so in those years, there was never really an aha moment because it was like, oh yeah, I'm just taking these baby steps.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, go to middle school and then I'm going to this performing arts high school and they're preparing me for performing arts college. And then, but the first time I really sort of like was floored when I was like, oh my God, this is it. I remember I took a trip. I had saved for like the first 3 years of my high school years to take a trip to the UK to sort of tour schools in the UK and see if I wanted to study there, and then also study at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland over the summer.
Oh,
which was cool. And I stopped in London for a couple days, and I saw Shakespeare's Globes production of Macbeth, of Macbeth. I can say that.
You can say that.
Yeah, I mean, I just will never forget. I think what the Globe does in creating an experience that is so beyond just sort of like an audience actor relationship is was life-changing for me. I remember, you know, it's open air and I'm standing. My elbows are on the Globe stage. I'm just like leaning for 3 hours, you know. Wait,
what
watching.
Do they call that? Like the penny? What are they? It's like the spots where everyone like...
Oh, yeah. There's like a special... We took a tour of the Globe once.
Yeah, I mean, the people are called the Groundlings.
Okay, maybe that's something like that. Okay.
But yeah, like I'm sure there's many like sayings, penny tickets or whatever.
Yeah, it was something like...
I paid like £8 for it, which is like crazy and so
accessible.
Who was
playing Macbeth himself?
Oh.
Because I know sometimes they have like really prominent like film actors, like Benedict Cumberbatch and stuff like that will do.
It wasn't. What if he listens to this? It wasn't anyone. Like that. But he was absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. And I remember he came out and he started saying tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty base, and rain starts from the sky, from the real ass sky, and like I'm sitting there being drenched but with rain and listening to this man just continue on, and it was the first time sort of I like experienced that like theater can be actual magic, not like just that's sort of what a magic show, like it was a real palpable magic sort of in that space. So that was sort of particularly that moment of that speech at that time was so crazy for me. And then I think the second is when I saw A Curious Incident of the Dog in the Night Time.
Oh, they're amazing.
Beautiful.
Which was at the Barrymore, which is where I made my Broadway debut 2 years after I saw it, which is like just so unbelievable.
Did you see Alex Sharp?
I did see Alex Sharp, yeah. And that was my first Broadway show of all time.
Oh, my God. Late really?
Bloomer in life. I know. Yeah. Late bloomer. But I, you know, I'd grown up in California and I never really had come out here.
And that play is just...
It's just so amazing. That was another moment where I was weeping the entire time, but I didn't know why. Like, I was just so... It was so beautiful.
It's very moving.
So beautiful and so happy most of the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, to a certain extent, but, like, you know, so fun and... But I was just weeping you know, especially because of the movement, I just thought everything was so magic, and mm-hmm. I felt like I was seeing magic again for the first time.
Oh my God. I love both of those moments.
Oh, thank you.
That's great. Wellington. I just remember him always shouting.
Yeah, yeah,
he did. He was Wellington.
Wait, was it a rat?
Yeah. And I'll never forget when he's, when they lift him up.
Yes.
Sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then the mom coming from the beach and coming from the audience, coming from the house. So beautiful.
It's so weird that was in the Barrymore.
The train.
The train. Yeah, oh, yeah. So that's cool. Crazy that was in the Barrymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see that. That's so weird. Okay, interesting. Yeah. We saw Taylor Trench do that.
Oh, my God. A friend. Yes. Oh, yeah? I love Taylor
Trench.
He
is mm-hmm. unbelievable.
Yeah, we were talking about this on something. We just recorded another one. Yeah. But Taylor Trench, he is unbelievable.
He's unbelievable mm-hmm. in everything.
He gets it. He understands the assignment every single time and nails it.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what you said.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
I just believe it to be true. He's amazing.
He's amazing. And he, I'm not going to like really go into it, but he gave me one of the biggest compliments about this show that anyone's given me. And it meant so much, especially being so young and like fresh out of school, and everybody's from grad school, and and you know, other people have been in Broadway for a long time, and you know, this process has been so amazing, but it's easy to get in your head and be like, I'm not, you know, what am I really contributing to this piece? And then Taylor coming, somebody whose work I respect a lot and whose person I respect a lot, and coming and giving me one of like the biggest compliments I've ever received is like just so awesome.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
That makes my heart warm. Oh, I love it so much. I do have some more questions about The Inheritance, but I don't want to like totally fill it up. But
yeah, sorry, I'm talking a lot.
No. We absolutely love it. I'm curious about your college experience and just like what that was like at Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I think it is so contingent upon the people that you're surrounded by. And I think Carnegie does a really amazing job, at least when I was there, of getting people who have like just really sort of passionate, vibrant hearts there. But obviously everybody's experience is different. Mine was so unbelievably amazing. I was a huge advocate for Carnegie Mellon. While I was there, I was giving tours around the school.
Oh my God. I could see you doing that.
Yeah, what's so crazy is I didn't realize that this would be the case, but everybody who sort of even has auditioned for Carnegie Mellon, I worked auditions, and so at the stage door, a lot of people were like, thank you so much, can you sign my playbill, you worked my audition. I was like, oh my God, thank you for coming.
That's so cute.
Like,
I love that.
That's so sweet of you to remember, you know.
Yeah.
I loved Carnegie. I thought it was awesome.
Giving tours is so fun. We did tours at our school.
We went to Ohio State.
Yeah. I didn't do them for that long.
Yeah, Connor had a short-lived.
I had a short-lived career.
Me too, kind of. But it like changed my life because like through becoming a tour guide, I met my boyfriend and like.
Oh.
So it's like it means a lot to me in that way. So I always have a warm spot in my heart
God.
For that.
That's
I know.
So sweet.
Yeah. We just celebrated our 4-year anniversary.
Congratulations!
Thank
That's
you.
So amazing.
And I'm like,
and I've been single for that.
We saw, sitting with him at The Inheritance was one of the coolest experiences, like just like being like openly gay and like thinking about like this wasn't always the case for like couple. I don't know. It was just, it's really cool. Yeah. It's just beautiful. I hope that we get to see more like gay focused art going forward because I can't explain how cathartic it was to be able to like experience that. And I'm sure people tell you similar things all the time.
No, but I mean, for me, it's cathartic as well.
Yeah.
And I was saying, it's cathartic in a different way every night. And so like, it's not like, it's like, oh yeah, it's cathartic. I experienced that, but now it's not, you know, like I get it. It's truly just such an incredibly, alive piece I totally get that experience.
Yeah. Now, when did you come out?
Good
that's
question.
Okay to ask.
Totally. Yeah. It's just hard to answer. Because I don't think it was really like a moment. Like I wasn't like coming out on YouTube, you know, like I was.
I have to ask you.
Yeah,
you were a YouTuber.
Oh God. Okay. Well, yes, sort of.
Okay,
sort of.
Okay.
I had a channel. Everything's private now.
Okay.
But I got into it because it was like a really cool community of like creatives, and it was a cool way to meet that community in the entire world. Mm-hmm. And so then I got such incredible friends sort of like all around the world. And so then once that happened, I was like, that's sort of why I'm here.
Yeah.
Farewell. and those friends have stuck with me. I mean, so many of them have come to see some people who are still, I mean, Amy Ordman, if you know Amy, she's amazing. Jack Dodge, Alexis Zoll, like these YouTubers that flew out from LA to come see me.
That's so special.
Yeah.
And in your debut too, that's great.
Yeah.
The thing about YouTubers is that all of them ended up being gay. Like, that's like very fun.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
They're all gay.
Are all YouTubers gay?
Yes. I think it's a prerequisite before you become YouTube. Mr. YouTube sits you down and he's like, are you homosexual?
Yeah. That's good to know. This is the true drama behind the whole thing. Okay, we're going back to the coming out thing. So you feel like it was just sort of like a...
Oh, yeah. So with my family, it was interesting because I never was very afraid of it. But I was... I knew that the conversation would go something like, Mom, I'm you know, dating a man, and she would be like, great, let's go get our nails done, which now sounds great, but at the time I was like, I'm still, you know, I still, you're gonna like not think I'm gonna skateboard anymore, not like, I didn't want sort of to overhaul, which I think is problematic in some sense, but I didn't want to overhaul sort of my parents' ideas of me.
That's so normal. I feel like that's so normal.
Yeah, yeah, you know? And so it was really important for me to attach it to a person rather than like, surprise, I'm a different human than you've ever known. And so I waited until I had a boyfriend.
Okay.
That happened in college, and then I told them that I had a boyfriend, and then that happened, and it was fine.
And they were like, great.
Yeah, my mom famously said, help me with the coupons. She was like, okay, awesome, help me with the coupons.
That's so cute.
Okay,
that's
great.
So cute.
That's iconic.
Nothing changed.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And have they seen the show?
Yeah, they came opening night. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Which is very, very sweet.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think about that too, like kids who might see the show or like their parents might bring them the show and they might not necessarily know what it is. And like to sit there with your parents, like if that's awkward or not. Like,
oh my God.
Even to this day, like if there's a sex scene in a movie and I'm sitting by my parents, I still feel like slightly weird.
Totally.
I know.
A lot of my friends, I'm close with a lot of my friends' parents, you know? And so a lot of my friends' parents have come with my friends.
Yeah.
And I have to warn them every time. I'm like, there will be fisting talk. Like, you have to understand, like, there is some intense sexual...
Or, like, that scene with Adam McDowell, or is he Leo at that point when he, like, the full frontal nudity?
Yeah, and goes
to
the bathhouse.
The bathhouse scene.
Yeah.
That was an insane scene. The highs and lows.
Yeah.
Like, I was on the edge of my seat, heart racing, like, experiencing every... the familiar, I don't know, it was just too real.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah, he's awesome. And truly one of the kindest people. Sam Levine is my whole heart type.
Oh, I love that. There's that moment, spoiler, when he does both characters in the same scene in part two.
I remember reading it for the first time and being like, no. I was like, you're lying. And I was like speaking to only a paper. I was like, you're joking.
It was unclockable.
Unclockable.
Not even for a second did he like mess up.
Yeah.
Or like, because you know, his whole posture kind of changes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I'm sorry for anyone who hasn't seen the show.
I know. We literally are just talking about The Inheritance the whole time. There's so many other things.
I know.
Too.
There's so many things.
Wait, okay. I heard a rumor.
Yeah.
/ on your Instagram that you worked at SoulCycle.
Oh my God, I did work at SoulCycle.
I oddly still do.
You work at SoulCycle?
I do.
Oh my God, which one?
Upper West Side. Should I like reveal on the pod?
Yeah.
Like where I work. Upper West Side. I'm taking the month off, just like whatever. But because I have a full time job. And I'm still there 3 days a week.
Yeah, yeah.
You get to ride. Will we cut all this? It's a crazy, crazy.
It's a crazy place, but I felt lucky. I was in Park Slope.
Oh.
Which was like Brooklyn and like really chill. Like it was all these like Park Slope moms who like, I don't know, like it felt way chiller than sort of like hearing the crazy stories from these like Manhattan soul cycles.
I know.
Like the Bryant Park location is like absolute insanity.
Even downtown, the downtown culture is crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. Even the instructors, you know, the instructors who come to, to Brooklyn, they're like, yeah, like super cool. When like they're, you know.
I don't know. I just wanted to bring up Soul Cycle because I saw you in the yellow shirt and I was like, he understands.
It was a very fun time. It was so like fun. The people who work there. I mean, I don't know about your people. Yeah. My people were so cool. They're like,
oh, yeah.
They all came and saw the show. They were like, came as a group. I was like,
oh, that's so sweet.
So, so
sweet.
Nice.
Yeah, I love it. I'm still there, you know.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't love it, I would probably have left. Right. But. Yeah, because it's great. It was like my survival job that became more, and then I got a full-time job, and I was like, I can't go. I can't let go.
Right.
I have trouble letting go of things in general, but maybe we'll talk about that later. Oh, my God. But no,
I think we should move into the dose of drama.
We should move into it. All right.
I know, I'm sad that our time's coming to an end. We said this last part. Okay, so this dose of drama, it's just sort of whatever's kind of going on in your life right now, whether it be that your Broadway show is closing prematurely or, you know, something very small like an injury or, you know, someone ghosting you, you know, all of those sorts of things. I will go first because it involves you.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
My dose of drama is, in doing my extensive research on you before this, I saw that you are... or at one point were close friends with Troye Sivan.
Oh my God, yes.
Is this because of the YouTube thing?
It was because of the YouTube thing.
Okay.
There was a group of us. I mentioned Jack earlier. Mm-hmm. My friend Ben J. Pierce, who now goes by Benny, who's an amazing singer.
I love a rebrand.
Yeah, love Benny. Miss Benny, amazing. Spotify, do it. there was like a small group of us that like were friends with Troye, but like weren't famous enough for everybody else. People would call the group like the Troye Squad.
Very
which
fun.
Which was such a weird sort of brand that we didn't do. But,
okay.
But yeah,
was this like before he wrote that song for Fault in Our Stars?
Way before. Okay. So it was before he started even doing music. He was sort of doing YouTube. He had still done acting and stuff. He had you know, was in Wolverine and stuff.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, little baby Troye.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love him.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's such a sweet dude.
I love his most recent album too.
Oh my God. It's amazing. It was actually really funny. Matthew Lopez, it was like a week before preview or week before opening, and he saw that Troye followed me on Instagram and he was like, why get him to opening?
Yeah.
And I was like, you get him to opening. I was like, I don't have a ticket. But yeah, he's the sweetest.
I love so that. That's so fun. That's my drama. Connor,
I love Troye. My dose of drama. It was going to be about the Fire Island scene in The Inheritance, and then my seat was too far away.
So funny.
Connor has a crush on Andrew Burnett.
Oh, my God.
Oh, who doesn't?
I know. He's a dreamboat.
He's a dreamboat.
He's like just like the all-American, like...
those baby blues.
Yeah.
I think he has blue eyes. Was I still too far away?
He does, yeah.
No, yeah, I love it. I don't really have any drama. I'm feeling fine.
That's great.
I know.
Shock. Carson.
Oh my God, see, you guys had such good ones. I was thinking, on the train, and I was like, okay, does the drama. I was like, what do they want to hear? Because you had said, like, backstage.
It could be, yeah.
And then I did think about a moment that I still haven't gotten off my chest, really.
This is your time.
Okay, this is my time. Thank you for opening up the space for me to do this.
Feel safe. Carson, hold my hand. We got this.
So it was such a funny moment in retrospect. And it actually, I think I started thinking about it again because yesterday at that Facebook Live thing, we were asked about like who our favorite people who like had come to the show.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Were. And I was just thinking about all the people. And I remember this crazy moment where Peter Staley, who was like, he's a pioneer he was on the front lines of the AIDS epidemic. He like founded ACT UP. He's like just a legend.
Yeah.
And I had followed him on Instagram for a long time just because of his activism and stuff like that. And, you know, it's sort of the thing that I like always pictured him is that he has these like circular glasses, right? So I'm like, Peter Staley's in the audience, like I'm performing this show for Peter Staley. I know he's coming backstage. He has these circular glasses, like I can't wait to see him. And I come downstairs and I'm so nervous again because I'm like, I'm about to talk to somebody who makes me nervous. And I'm coming down and this other man, I've just ruined the story, but this man comes up and he has circular glasses and I was like, Peter? And he goes, No, I'm Joel.
Oh.
Oh.
And I'm like, this is Joel Grey. I'm
sorry. Oh my God. Oh my God.
This is Joel Grey. And I'm with like three other of my castmates. And they, for not a second, did not know that. Like, they knew it was Joel Grey. And so then now they're shaking his hand and being like, hi, Joel. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh my God.
And I just been like, Peter?
Iconic. That might be the title of the episode.
Yeah,
Peter?
Yeah. And he simply said, no, I'm Joel. Yeah, I was very embarrassed. But then I did meet Peter Staley and he like signed my book, which was really sweet. And it ended up being great. But I'll never forget when I just called Joel Grey a wrong name.
Well, you know, when you have it in your head, it's sort of like tunnel vision. Like,
totally.
Someone with circular glasses is going to be here.
Totally.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. And like, how was I supposed to know that Joel Grey was at the show?
Right.
You know, like I didn't.
They didn't announce it for some reason.
Yeah, or maybe they did, and I just like, yeah. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they really wanna,
did they like, tell you that Hillary Clinton was coming?
They did, like 15 minutes before we went on stage.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Shook. Did she love it?
Oh my God, she loved it. And what was crazy, that is a moment I'll never forget in my entire life, is, you know, there's a whole scene where we recreate the night
of
the election.
God. Oh my God,
yes. We recreate her losing, and we're just,
that was
watching,
one of the hardest things to watch.
Yeah, and she's just hearing, she's lost this, and it comes right after a scene where we're like celebrating her. We're at this brunch and we're like, and these are the crazy things we can change once Clinton's elected.
Yes.
And this whole audience erupts in applause. And everyone, I mean, it was a crazy, insane moment for everyone to be like cheering, jumping up and down in their seats because they everyone knew Hillary was there. Mm-hmm. Everyone's cheering for Hillary, standing up. I mean,
I'm shaking.
It was minutes long, this applause.
Oh,
we had to stop basically acting. We just, you know, and then right after that, zook.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all the air came out of the room because it was, we recreated the election. Everyone was just silent, just tense hearing it. It's crazy.
That is so wild. I completely forgot about that scene. Yeah. Probably because I blocked out that night in my memory for many years.
One of the most traumatic nights.
I was like a Hillary ride or die to me. Like, and I love that she's a theater queen too.
Yeah, it's awesome. And what's crazy too is she knows Tony Goldwyn. Tony Goldwyn was super. He was at the DNC. He was like, Tony is a huge like activist and political guy, and he sort of like made calls for her. He was like on her team during her campaign. Yeah,
that's really amazing.
Yeah.
God. There are probably so many stories that you have just from the whole
I know, I know. Now I feel like I'm just like getting to release them.
I love it. I love it. We are so thankful that you did this. Unfortunately, we have to wrap up.
I know.
But we are so glad that you came on board to do this.
I'm so glad.
If you listen back to all the last couple of months of episodes, like we talk about the inheritance all the time. it is like a recent Ring of Keys moment for us, like reminding us why we're here in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say it like Taylor Trench did, but like your contributions are so valued, and you are so good in the show, and everyone who got to see it is lucky, and may it live on, and may your career continue to grow.
Thank you guys. Yes. This has truly been so fun.
Oh my god. Thanks, Carson. You're a gem.
Everyone should follow you at Carson McCauley, but it's not with two C's on Instagram. Yeah.
I'm glad you catch that. Mm-hmm. Catch that.
Well, I was like, I thought he was on Instagram. I thought it was, and then
okay,
it was,
yeah. Here's the tea. Sorry, I know we're wrapping
up.
Here's the tea.
Spell.
Is that somebody, Instagram, if you're listening, somebody when I was doing YouTube saved my handle was something different, and they made an account for me. They were like, we're saving his full name in case he wants it. And then once I stopped doing YouTube, like those people disappeared, you know, and I for years I've been trying to get my full name with two C's, but it's like with somebody else. And I'm like, look at the profile. It says this is for Carson when he wants it.
No.
And they still won't give it to me.
This is a siren call right now.
I know.
Release the account. Let him have it.
I also need to know what these videos were about, but we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it off pod. Oh my God. Anyway. You're amazing. Great things are coming for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're amazing. Great things are coming for you.
Thank you. Oh my God. Dylan.
Connor.
Follow Dylan at Dylan McDowell.
Yes. And follow Connor at Connor McDowell. Follow at The Drama Podcast for all the latest. Rate us 5 stars. This, are you triggered for your YouTube days? Like, rate and review.
Link in bio.
Subscribe.
Look below.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Right. It?
Yeah. The point.
Yeah. You point below.
And we will see you next time.
Drama.